Psalm 109. Well, here David is cussing pretty well his adversary, his enemy, and he may have in view Shimei or Doeg or Absalom or Saul, but I think particularly Ahithophel. Why I say that is because he says in verse 6, set a wicked man over him, let an adversary stand at his right hand, let his days be few. Verse 8, let another take his office. And that's quoted in Acts about Judas. And Ahithophel is clearly set up as some sort of representative of Judas. As Ahithophel was to David, so Judas was to the Lord Jesus. I want to focus particularly on verse 6. Set a wicked man over him, let an adversary, a Satan, stand at his right hand. But this is in contrast in verse 31 with how Yahweh stands at the right hand of the righteous. What is David meaning here? I think his idea is that you've either got Yahweh at your right hand or you've got the Satan at your right hand, who he calls a wicked man. Set a wicked man over him, let a Satan, an adversary, stand at his right hand. And yet in Zechariah 3, you've also got a Satan at the right hand in the court of heaven. I think the idea is that situations here on earth are reflective of the situation in the court of heaven. That nothing that goes on here on earth is unnoticed, and in fact it is played out, as it were, before the court of heaven. Now, all the angels are righteous and obedient to God. And yet, you find in Daniel that wicked individuals and whole nations and princes of Persia or whatever can have their representative angel in heaven. That angel is not wicked or sinful of themselves, but those angels, as it were, play the role of that person who is here on earth. And I think that's what was going on in the book of Job with the Satan figure there. That is also, I think, an angel, although you notice that the Satan actually doesn't actually do anything sinful or anything wicked. He is completely under God's control. And David would, of course, would have had the book of Job and the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, as his kind of Bible to reason from. And so I think the idea is that he's saying, look, this wicked person, may he have God through his angel in the court of heaven leading him to destruction. And on earth, that is reflected in this person falling under the control of a wicked man. Set a wicked man over him, let an adversary stand at his right hand. Whereas, verse 31, the righteous have Yahweh himself at their right hand. And David, several times in the Psalms, feels that he has God at his right hand. So, in the context of Judas, Satan entered into him, we're told. He placed himself under the wicked man, maybe Caiaphas the high priest. He placed himself completely in the control of the Jewish authorities, and he did what they wanted him to do, which was to betray Jesus for money. And he did this. So the idea is that there is a higher hand in human life, something or somebody at your right hand, that you are being led and propelled in a certain direction. And that entity is either God for leading you for good, or his adversary, him leading you into the wrong way. And David, in cussing this person who he has in view, perhaps Ahithophel, he wishes this, as it were, upon whoever this person is. And whoever that person was, I think Ahithophel looks forward to Judas. So we can never take a break or a holiday from God. We are always going to be influenced one way or the other, to righteousness and God's kingdom, or in the way of destruction, which is the way that, unfortunately, Judas went in. Another way of putting this is the Holy Spirit influences you, or, as happened with King Saul, an evil spirit from the Lord. And thus it has to be, because a man of his standing alone, as it were, before God, is not strong enough. You are weak, we are all weak, and yet we have a desire, I believe, we have a desire to do that which is right, but we're too weak to do that. If we're just left alone, well, you might be able to do it, as it were, in some aspects of your life by your own steel will, but I think not. Then it would be salvation by works. You need this higher hand of God, and this is exactly the gift of the Holy Spirit. This need is exactly met. And likewise, it is the other way, that if we refuse that, then we are led in the way of wickedness. Because people don't receive the love of the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, therefore God sent them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. God is not passive to wickedness, and we are encouraged whichever way we wish to go. Now, we wish to go the way of God's kingdom. And here it's so critical that our core heart desire, our driving, absolutely paramount emotion and desire, is that we should be in God's kingdom and that we should do his will, although we're so weak. And if that is our desire, then we shall be confirmed in that. And so, likewise, if we want to go the way of the flesh, we will be led that way. That's the way God has structured things in this life, and I see the wisdom of it, because it's like that, it means that there is huge significance and meaning attached to human volition, to human desire, that we shall be confirmed in the way in which we wish to go, and therefore our decisions, our core heart desire, become so paramount, so critically important. And surely we wish to be in God's kingdom. Paul says, all those that love the Lord's appearing shall be saved. If with all our heart we want to be in his kingdom, we want to serve him, then by his grace he will confirm us in the myriad, millions and billions, if not trillions, of little psychological issues that go on in the course of a person's life. He will confirm us in all those towards his kingdom.